when we are created that there's a certain void that is in our hearts. That void needs to be filled with something substantial, and it can only be filled by love. Many don't realize that the love that can really fill that void is the love of God, because God is love. And today is Sunday, February 14th, 2021. If today was not Sunday and any other day, it would still be February 14th. But more importantly, it would be widely recognized as Valentine's Day. So to some of us, it is Valentine's Day that just happens to occur on a Sunday. And to others, it is a Sunday and Valentine's Day just happens to fall on today. And to those of us who understand that last statement, that is that this is Sunday first. And our Christian and our spiritual mandate always include the essential and the mandate of Valentine's Day, which is to love every day. So I'm going to ask you if you can to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, the 13th chapter. And I want to read this to you. The scripture says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. It says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the childishness behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I fully know. Love is superior to all the spiritual gifts that one might possess. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love. The Corinthians were enamored with the gifts of tongues. And Paul is reminding them that you can speak in tongues, but if you don't have love, it is meaningless. Without love, a Bible can speak various languages, but it's like a cymbal that's just clanging. It is nothing but an empty noise. The Bible further speaks of tongues of men and tongues of angels. Though you speak a supernatural language, which is by the Spirit, one could speak these supernatural languages. It is not a living human language. It is not even a human language at all. But there are angelic languages that men speak by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, though you speak in those kind of tongues, if you have love, if you don't have love, you have nothing. The Bible says that you can do miracles. And apart from love, those miracles mean nothing. The Corinthians, the Christians, they missed that. They were making their goals to have all of these gifts. But Paul drew the line right there and wanted to bring their attention to the forefront of what love really is. Paul replies, because you have so little, and Matthew, Jesus says, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. What an amazing thing that you can have the faith of a small mustard seed, but you can tell a mountain to move from here to there, and the mountain will move. But even with that kind of faith, without love, you are still empty. You see, love isn't about love versus the gift. A church should never, and we as Christians should never be able to choose or forced to choose between love and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is not what Paul is talking about here. But what Paul is doing is emphasizing the difference between gifts and love. Paul uses the ancient Greek language to describe the different types of loves that they have. He talks about four different words, four different types of love. There is the eros love, which is a word that describes the self-love, the erotic love. It refers to a sexual love. It is the storge, is another one. That's the second word for love. It refers to a family love, a love between a parent and a child, or the love between family members in general. Then there's a philia, is the third word for love. It speaks of a brotherly love, a friendship. It speaks of affection. It speaks of partnership. It might be described as the highest type of love between a man without God's help that man is capable of. And then there is the fourth love, and the word is agape love. It is a love that loves without changing. It is a self-giving love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment. It is a love so great that it can be given to the unlovable or the unappealing. It is a love that loves even when it is rejected. Have you ever loved somebody and they rejected your love, but you continue to love them anyway? It is a form of agape love. Agape love gives and loves because it wants to. It doesn't demand or expect repayment. It gives love, but it doesn't want and doesn't expect the love to come back. It is a sacrificial love. It is a kind of absorbing love. It is a love that comes inside of your body. It is inside of your spirit. It is inside of your soul. The Bible speaks of Jesus when he's speaking to the rich young ruler, and he tells them to take all of your goods, your worldly possession, all of your money, all of these things that you have, all of these things that you love, to give them to the poor if you want to follow me. But the rich young ruler couldn't do that because he had not learned to love. His love was determined by what he had, not what he had to give on the inside. The scripture says, though my body go through hardships. In other words, even if you lay down your life, there are people who want to lay down their life in such a dramatic fashion. They want to be martyrs. But you can do that. But if you don't have love while you're doing that, it's a demonstration. It's almost Pharisaic. Normally, people do not doubt the spiritual credentials of somebody who gives themselves away and give up their life in a dramatic fashion. But if you're doing it for the dramatic and you're not doing it for love, it is nothing to God. In the early days, there were Christians that were so arrogant to think that their blood could wash away sins. Listen, your blood cannot wash away sins. It doesn't make sense for you to die and thinking that because I die and I'm going to die in a bloody scene and I'm going to be a martyr, if your blood cannot wash away your sins. The Bible will tell you that Jesus' blood washes away sins. Amen? There's a song that we sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is important for sacrifice. It is important that we understand that there is suffering that we must do, but it is also not the most important thing. Because without love, you could suffer all you want. Even if you do it willingly, but you could do it without love, it don't mean anything. So we have to understand that when we do things for Christ, when we do things for people, when we do things for people in our house, in the church, we do it because we love. We don't do it to stand out. We don't do it to put ourselves above everybody else. We must do it because we love. And when you do that, you don't have an expectation of receiving anything back for it. Too many times people do things and there's a level of expectation that the church is going to give them. There's a level of expectation that they expect the pastor, first lady, or somebody in the administration or the deacons or the ministers to give them. Christ wants us to do things sacrificially. The kind of love that Jesus wants us to have is a sacrificial love, so it's not wanting anything back. Each thing is described in 1 Corinthians 1 to 3. The Bible says that love suffers long and is kind. You know, at the beginning, we see love being described by action words. But there comes a time in your life where there might not be too much action. But there still should be love. When you're young and you're vibrant and you can run up and down and you can do all sorts of things, there's a lot of love. But what kind of love is it? Is it the agape love? And then as you begin to mature and things change in your life, do you still have the same type of love that you had before? Love suffers long. Love will endure a long time. I say love endures a long time because the type of love that we are describing today is love in your heart. After you're dead and gone, people will love you because they loved you. They didn't just love you because you were there. They didn't just love you because of what you did for them. They loved you because they loved you. Love is kind. God's love is kind. Even in the simplest terms of kindness, we must understand that God's love is kind. For the mere fact that we're here today, for the mere fact that we got up this morning, God's love is kind. Every day that we get up, we must realize how kind God has been to us. There are people today, on Valentine's Day, on this Sunday, who will not get up. Eight things love is not. Love is not envious. Love is not proud. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love doesn't cling to you. Love is not touchy. Love is not suspicious. Love is not happy with evil. Love doesn't love envy. Love doesn't go around parading itself around. Envy is one of the least productive and the most damaging sins of all time. It accomplished completely nothing except the hurt. I'm going to say that again. Envy accomplishes nothing. It is the least productive and most damaging of all sins. It is at the top. And when you break down subsets of envy, you'll understand why envy is the least productive of all sins. When you love, you keep envy at a distance. When somebody envies somebody and you see love, love says, no, I don't want to do that. Love says, I don't envy that person, but I love the fact that they have what they have. I love the fact that God has blessed them with something. I love the fact that God is doing all of these great things in their life. And I know that God can do the same for me. So I don't have to envy what they have, because my God is great and can do even more or greater for me. Love keeps its distance from envy. It doesn't resent when somebody else is promoted or blessed. Envy was the thing that murdered Abel. Envy was the thing that enslaved Joseph. Envy put Jesus on the cross. The Bible says, for he knew that they had handled him over because of envy. That's in Matthew 27 and 18. Love does not parade itself. Love is an action word that can work anonymously. When you love, you don't have to say, I love. Love shows itself. You don't have to say nothing. You don't have to parade it around. As I said before, it is Pharisaic. The Pharisees wanted everybody to see them pray on the corner. They wanted everybody to hear them. Jesus said, that is not the way that you should pray. That is not what we should do. Amen? We don't have to have the limelight. We don't have to grab all the attention. Love is just satisfied with the results. Love gives because it loves to give. Have you ever known somebody that loves to give? They love to give just because they love to give. They don't give because they want the recognition. They don't give because they want the pastor or somebody to get up and say that they did this or they did that. They give because they love to give. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And you can't beat God giving. Sometimes those who work the hardest at giving love and that love are the ones who seems like love is the furthest from them. They do things that we perceive as loving, yet they do it in a manner that exposes them for who and what they are. That isn't love. That is pride looking for glory by the appearance of love. Love is not puffed up. To be puffed up means to be arrogant. It means to be self-focused. It means to be big-headed. Love doesn't let its head get swelled up. It focuses on the need of others. Love does not behave rudely. Where there's love, the Bible tells us that there will be kindness and good manners. People without love want you to see how cultured, how good they are. But love doesn't worry about that. You know, I remember one time I was younger and I was going to high school with my friends. And I didn't dress the best because that wasn't my focus. But I was so happy and loved the fact that I was going to school with some of the best friends that I grew up with. And while I was happy, one day it rained and it rained and it rained, and we're going home on the train, and I looked a mess. And somebody looked at me and said, you need to get yourself together. And I looked at myself, and it hurt me. It hurt me because I was just so happy to be with my friends. I was just so happy to be going home on the train. And it shot a hole in my spirit. Because instead of somebody being happy and being friends and in love with me, not the agape love, but the brotherhood friendship type of love, that it blew a hole in my soul. If you don't watch out, the enemy will use people to try to put a hole in your soul. But don't let them do that. Love is never provoked. And I know that we all find it easy to be provoked. We find it easy to be irritated. Sometimes people are just plain annoying. There's nothing that you could do about it. Sometimes people just annoy you. But you got to overcome it with love. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but you must overcome it with love. Love covers all ills. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It refuses to show different colors against other people. Love rejoices in the truth. Love is strong. Love is believing. Love can always stand. Love is enduring. Love bears all things, believes all things. Love hopes all things and endures all things. When we say all things, the Apostle Paul couldn't have chosen any phrase bigger than this, because all things cover everything. Not some things, but all things. God calls us deeper and farther into a love, not just for things, but for him. Not just for him, but also for one another. Not just for one another, but also a world that is dying in sin. Love bears all things. I know that sometimes we have people that want to know, why do we have a pantry and why do we still service people that don't love us? Why do we service people that speak a different language than us? Why do we serve people who sometimes, and we know it, take advantage of us? Because we are showing the love of God. We're serving people. We're being sacrificial to people. Because we want them to know that God covers all things. Amen. Just because you don't look like me, don't mean that I can't love you. Just because I don't understand your language don't mean that I can't say something to you in love. Remember, love is an action word. Love stands in the presence of fault. I'm going to add phrase a little bit from Charles Spurgeon. He says, if we could imitate the pearl oyster. You know, the oyster is a little shellfish. That oyster is covered, and it's covered tight. But if there's a little particle that intrudes itself into the shell, that oyster is vexed. It grieves it. It irritates it. And it can't reject it. But what it does is it covers it. And it covers it with a substance extracted out of its own life. And by the time, over time, by which that intruder, that thing that came in, that little irritant, it becomes a pearl. The oyster is actually killing the irritant with kindness. We could do a lot with irritation. We could do a lot with frustration. We could do a lot with aggravation that we receive from one another if we turn it into those pearls. The Bible says, love believes all things. We're never to believe a lie. We're never to believe evil until the facts demand it. But we must choose to believe the best in others. Love is as far as we can believe in one another. Amen? I know some people who always believe the bad in people. As soon as they hear something negative, something bad comes out of it. But the Bible teaches us to believe good. Bad will show itself. You don't have to believe bad. Bad is going to show up. Believe good. Love hopes all things. Love has confidence in the future. You know, we run around and we say that darkness endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? So if you believe that, you should have love and confidence in the future and not pessimism. When things hurt, because things do hurt, know that the hurt ain't gonna last forever. Know that it might even get worse, but it won't last forever. Sometimes if you go through a surgery or you go to the dentist, your tooth hurt or you're in pain, you know that it hurt, but you have hope that it don't last forever. It's the kind of hope that we hope for the best, and that's the kind of hope that God wants us to have. And love endures all things. Most of us can bear a lot of things, but can we bear all things? If you don't have love, you can't bear all things. You will bear some things, and that depends on your personality. It depends on who you are. It depends on what you're going through. But the Bible says love can bear all things. Even when you're hurting emotionally, love can bear it. Even when you're hurting physically, love can bear it. Even when you are down in the pit, love can bear it. Even when you're on top of the mountain, love can bear it. Even when somebody do you wrong, love can bear it. Love doesn't give up. That's the greatness of love. Love destroys its enemy by turning them into friends. Let me tell you something. The people who are your enemies, who dislike you, there's a reason why they dislike you. There's something about you that they're envious of. Didn't I say that envy is one of the most dangerous on top of the list of sins? I don't care how far you go down. I don't even care if you look at what's going on in this country today, in the world today. There's a certain amount of envy that's underneath all of that. I'm going to choose not to go into all of that today because I'm talking about love today. We could replace the word love with the name Jesus and see if the description would make sense. We can easily say that Jesus suffered long and is kind. If we say that love suffers long but still kind, we can say that Jesus suffers long and is still kind. We can say love does not envy and makes it through to the whole end of our lives. We can say Jesus does not envy and he can make it through to the whole end of our lives. You can measure up how spiritually mature you are by seeing how it sounds when you put that name in place of the word love. Does it sound a little bit ridiculous? Does it sound a little far-fetched? Try it. There's a reason why Paul puts in the midst of this discussion of spiritual gifts that Paul wants the Corinthians to remember that giftedness is not a sign of maturity. The display of love is. Oh, I've been some places. I've seen some people that talk in tongues. And you think that they're so holy and so mighty that God has gifted them. But I've also seen where they didn't have any love. And the Bible is saying, without love, that's nothing. Love will outlive your gifts. I say that because the day that you die and the day that you stop speaking in tongues, If you don't have love, nobody's going to want to remember you. Your legacy is going to leave nothing. Because the Bible tells us that you're speaking in tongues, you're prophesied, and all of that stuff that you do without love, it's going to stop one day. But your love will never fail. Paul emphasizes love more than gifts because the gifts are temporary containers. Your gift is a temporary container of God's work. So you speak in tongues. When you die, God will use another vessel. Take it out of that container and put it in another container and use that container. So you prophesy. God will take it out of that container when you die and put it in another container because he still has people prophesying his word. Therefore, your gifts are temporal, just as you are. You will not rise up out of the grave speaking in tongues. You will not rise up after you're dead prophesying over anything. But the love that you exhibit, that you leave here, can carry on after you're dead and gone. Love is eternal. Love lasts forever. Love abides forever. So, three great pursuits of the Christian life are not miracles, they're not power, they're not gifts, but they are faith, hope, and love. Though they are gifts, they're precious, they're given by the Holy Spirit, but they are not to be the focus or the goal of your life. Instead, faith. You want to increase in your faith. That's what you should be striving for. You should be increasing in your hope. That is what you should be searching for. You should be trying to increase your agape love. All of your loves, but the agape love. Amen? The Bible, in this scripture, in the chapter 13, the last verse, which is verse 13, says that you can have faith. You can have hope that you should strive for all of this. But the greatest. There's people who run around saying, I am the greatest. Sometimes you'll have a good meal. You say, this is a great meal. Sometimes you'll get a job and you get a great salary. But the greatest that God says that one can ever possess, the greatest is love. Amen? Because faith, hope, and love are so important, we expect to see them. When you look into the New Testament, listen to these verses. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, but your labor of love and patience and of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Then it says in another verse, it says, but let us be sober. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Another verse says, for through the Spirit eagerly we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. Everything comes through love. How much faith can you have without the love of Christ? How much hope can you have without the love of Christ? How great is your marriage going to be without love. One of the craziest examples, not examples, but articles I ever seen. I woke up this morning and, you know, I go into my email to see what's there from last night or whatever. And there's an article that came in late last night from some writer that says, Christian marriage is okay without love. I had to read that whole thing. Like, it's okay to be married as a Christian without love. How can you be married without love? When you get married, you marry somebody because you love them. But now I know that sometimes people drift apart. But if you love as Christ tells us to love as Christians, then there's no way that the love between husband and wife should be drifting apart. Because whatever it is that is dividing you, come on, somebody. Whatever it is that is dividing you, the Bible tells me that love covers all. So how can you have a Christian marriage without love? Then that means to me that you don't have the love of God. Maybe it's me. Scripture of 2 Timothy 1:12-13 says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Jesus Christ. Paul is telling Timothy that hold on. You're going to hear words. You're going to hear a bunch of things. But hold on in faith and in love that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, don't be swayed to the left or to the right. You're going to be rocking up and down sometimes. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulation. But hold on in faith. He didn't just say hold on in faith in Jesus Christ. See, we have people who hold on to faith in Jesus Christ. But you have to hold on in faith and love in Jesus Christ. Because when you hold on in faith and you love in Jesus Christ, that means when things happen, your soul will not be turned upside down. The Bible tells us love is the greatest of all of those because love is an attribute of God. You see, when we are in heaven, faith and hope are already going to fulfill its purpose. Remember, the 13th verse says, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen? But when you die and you go to your eternal state, your faith and your hope have fulfilled their purpose. You won't need faith when you see God face to face. You won't need hope in the coming of Jesus Christ once he comes. But you are always still going to need love. Amen? God does not have faith in the way that we have faith because he don't have to trust anybody outside of himself. God doesn't have hope the way that we hope because he knows all things and he is in complete control. But God is love and will always be love. So after all things, there is God and there is love. Paul doesn't try to make us choose between faith, hope, and love. He is just saying, after all of your goals, this is the most important thing that you should have in your relationship with God, in your relationship with others, in relationship with your Christian brothers and sisters. So I ask you this morning, I know years ago, Tina Turner sung a song that said, what's love got to do with it? Love's got everything to do with it. Because if you lose love, you lose everything. Love is supreme. Love was the exercise that made Jesus Christ come down from up above and put on human form because he loved us so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is the thing, is the manifestation to mankind in the person and the work of Christ. Do you really think that if Christ wasn't exhibiting love in all that he did, that he would do the things that he did? When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it was an exhibition of love and servanthood. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. The ones who washed the feet of people were servants. They were slaves. He said, I came to be a slave. I came to suffer. I came to be your servant. It was an exhibition of love. And I want you to know this morning that no matter what you're going through, that God loves you today. You might not have that Valentine on this particular day that the world makes you feel empty and without because nobody brought you candy in a red box shaped as a heart. You might not have some beautiful roses or flowers that somebody sent you today because it's Valentine's Day. You might not go out to dinner because somebody's not taking you out to dinner to a fancy restaurant. You might not even go to McDonald's or Burger King. But God loves you. And the reason why God loves you is because he has already declared in the heavens and on earth that you are his handiwork. He has already said that he's going to do good works for you. God has already prepared you for great things. God tells you when you look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, regardless of what others want you to see, he wants you to see that you're wonderfully made, that he made you, he created you, that he knew you in your mother's womb. God wants you to know that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So on this day, I advocate to you, don't strive for that worldly love. Don't be disappointed in what somebody else does for you. Always be excited for what God is doing for you each and every day, knowing that God loves you and he's going to make a way for you, that God will open doors that are closed and close them that need to be opened. Know that God is always there for you. Know that God doesn't make trash. Know that you're not worthless, that you're worth something to God. God is saying to you this morning, you are my masterpiece. God has the kind of love that will bear all of your sins, all of your burdens. No matter what it is, God still loves you. There's a singer, Marvin Sapp, that says, he saw the best in me when everybody else around could only see the worst in you. I want you to know this morning that no matter where you are, no matter where you're going through, no matter what it is in your life, what you've done, where you've been, where you were last night, right now you're still here today, God can turn things around. Whatever sins, burdens that you're bearing, God can turn them around. Whatever it is, God still loves you. God gave you another opportunity to turn your life around. God can endure all the ugliness of this world. He already has. The ugliest thing that could happen to see his son crucified on the cross. That's the ugliest thing that could ever happen. that God saw. The world turned black for a few hours when Jesus died on that cross. God can endure all your ugliness. And when God, with his love, he can always bring us back victorious. God has the kind of love that never fails. God never suspends his love. You know, sometimes people suspend their love for you. They put you on the outs. They say, I don't love you no more. You got 2 weeks, I'm put you on hiatus. God's love is never on a hiatus. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through each and every circumstance of your life. It never falls away. Everything else around you might collapse. But God, the God I serve, the God who wants you, the God who loves you, has the kind of love that never, ever collapses and never, ever fades away. So on this Valentine's Day, on this Sunday, that happens to be a Valentine's Day, why don't you reach out for the kind of love that will never fail you, that will never run away, that will never walk away, that will never leave you, that will never forsake you. God is willing today, if you don't have a relationship with him, he's offering his love today. If you're feeling worthless, shameful, shameless, if you're feeling depressed, frustrated, angry, there's a God of love that wants to speak to your heart and your soul today. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord this morning, I'm going to offer a prayer for you to be in the love of Christ. And when you get that love of Christ, your burdens can just fall away. Everything that you are carrying, you can just cast all your cares on him. Hallelujah. They can be gone in an instant. If you don't have a relationship, today is your day. Today is your day of God's love for you, to experience it in your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Father, as we come to you this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we come to you and we ask you today, Lord, to touch those who need a touch from you. We pray for those, Lord, who don't know you and don't have a relationship with you. We pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they say that, Jesus Christ, I recognize that I am a sinner. Lord, that I need you in my life. I ask you to come into my life. I believe, Lord, that you were crucified, that you died on the cross, and that on that third day that you rose. And because you rose, you conquered the ugliness of death. And when you conquered that, Lord, that all the worldly sufferings and all the sufferings that death can bring, Father, that you overcame them. And with you in my life, Lord, that I can overcome them too, that I can be a son of the Most High God. That Jesus Christ, that you could be my Lord and my Savior. So, Father, I ask you to come into my life. I receive you today as the Lord and Master, the commander of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, you have become a child of the Most High. And before I go, I would like to pray for those that are suffering this morning. The ills of loneliness, the ills of feeling loveless, the ills of society today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we ask you to bless those, Father, that are going through depression, those who are going through anxiety, suicide, frustration, Lord. Father, we pray for those, Lord, that are going through demonic spirits right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for those that are hurting so much, Father, that they feel like they can't feel the love. Father, I ask that you touch them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you pour out your spirit all over them, Lord, so they feel love. And no matter what it is that they're going through, Father, that there's a change that is coming. I pray, Lord, that they increase in their faith and increase in their hope. But the greatest of these, Lord, as you said, I pray, Lord, that they love beyond their pain. I pray, Lord, that they learn to love beyond the frustration, the anger, the anxiety, the depression right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that they understand that they have hope beyond hope because, Lord, you are a God of hope. I pray, Lord, for their faith to ever increase, Lord, because hope will bring faith and faith will bring hope, Father. But in all of these things, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you love them even so, that in the midst of the ugliness that they're going through, God, that there's beauty because you have created them and that you love them so. So we bless your name today, Father. We magnify you. We give you praise and we give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.